Okay, our last case for argument is IFC Credit versus Aliano. Mr. Borst.
Good morning. May it please the court, I'm Vincent Borst, and I appear here today on behalf of the appellant, IFC Credit Corporation. And we're before you appealing the district court's dismissal of IFC's action in the Northern District of Illinois for lack of jurisdiction and improper venue. The district court judge granted the defendant's motion to dismiss pursuant to Rule 12b-2 and 3 after concluding that the forum selection clause contained in the equipment lease at issue.
But what is the bottom line box score here on this? There's so many district judges have looked at this identical forum selection clause. Some say it's fine. Some say it's invalid. What's the score?
Judge, we have six cases pending in the Northern District of Illinois. This case, Aliano, was the first case to grant a motion to dismiss. Judge Manning just recently came back and on a motion to reconsider, based in part on Aliano, granted a motion to reconsider a motion to dismiss. So we've got two cases that are proceeding forward, two cases, I believe, that have been transferred under 1404A grounds. They denied motions to dismiss based on the forum selection clause. And we now have this case, which is before you today, and then the...
But this clause is in other districts also, isn't it?
Yes, it is in other districts.
So, I mean, what's the score? Is it 15-3 in favor of invalidity, or you know, what is it?
I think the districts are split. The Northern District of Minnesota, on two different occasions, denied motions to dismiss based upon the unenforceability of the forum selection clause. One of those decisions came down after our briefs were filed, so they're not cited in our briefs today, and I won't discuss them. We'd be happy to provide that to you in a post-argument supplemental memorandum. And then the Ohio appellate court basically came down and did the same analysis that an Illinois state court would do, analyzing the enforceability of forum selection clauses, and they enforced the forum selection clause, the identical forum selection clause that we have here.
How have the districts divided with regard to whether they apply federal law to the issue or state law?
Well, in this district, Judge Dara relied upon the Whirlpool versus Certain Underwriters case, which is an Illinois case.
Right.
We don't think it's precedential and doesn't support his decision. But I would say that Judge Dara relied on Illinois law. Judge Manning, on a motion to reconsider, citing to Aliano, implicitly relied upon Illinois law. In the District of Minnesota, that's a mix of Illinois law and a citation of federal cases. The Ohio court obviously relied solely on Ohio law.
But another question. Why did he not transfer the case to New Jersey? Why did he dismiss it?
I'm not certain, Your Honor. He cited to the IFC versus Eastcom case, which was Judge Gettleman's case. And in that case, Judge Gettleman was presented with the exact same forum selection clause, and he was presented with two motions, a motion to dismiss because of the clause's unenforceability, and also a motion to transfer. And he discussed the motion to dismiss and the forum selection clause, but he stepped past that issue. And the citation that Judge Darrow relied upon is in that part of Judge Gettleman's decision, which we think is obiter dicta, because he then moved on to the 1404A analysis and decided that the case should be transferred. So to that extent, Judge Gettleman's statement in Eastcom, which Judge Darrow relied upon, is obiter dicta. It was not necessary to his ultimate ruling, and we don't think it's preferential or precedential here today. Why Judge Darrow did not transfer the case, I cannot tell you that, Your Honor.
Is this...
Apart from the fact that there was not a motion to transfer, I don't believe it was pending.
Is the validity of this clause on appeal in any other circuits right now or in front of any state Supreme Courts?
We have the validity of this clause is on appeal in a number of state courts. I don't know if the District of Minnesota decisions have been appealed yet. We have a number of cases that are on appeal in the Illinois Appellate Court, that rulings that came out of the 3rd District. The judges out there held that the clause was unenforceable.
So do you think federal law governs or state law?
Well, I think that you have to look at what the policy of the forum that's selected would be, the public policy. I mean, one of the bases for invalidating a form selection provision, and we have to assume that they're presumptively valid. One of the bases for invalidating that is because it would violate an important public policy of the forum that is selected. So to that extent, I think you do need to look.
But didn't the Supreme Court in the Stewart case say this was a matter of federal law?
I'm not prepared to address that case, Your Honor. I'd be happy to do so in a memorandum.
I wouldn't think there'd be a whole heck of a lot of difference between applying federal or state law to the validity of this clause.
I don't think there would be, Your Honor. I mean, I think the same policy considerations are in play here.
I mean, the deficiencies that are identified in this clause, whether they are or not, would be something everybody would, any law would look to.
I agree. And the cases that we have cited, we've cited to a number of cases, all hold that a provision of this nature, which doesn't specifically say Illinois or Cook County or Chicago, Illinois, that they are enforceable provisions.
Now, is it your argument this clause is unambiguous because it's just either Novergence?
What's Norvergence, Inc., yes.
It's either where their, what, principal place of business is?
Their principal place of business
is
New Jersey.
Or where the assignee's principal place of business.
Correct. That's our bottom line.
Could there ever be a case in which there was a dispute over what the form was?
Well, I think you've got two questions. Let me answer the first question. That is our argument. This is clearly unambiguous because at any given point in time, you know exactly where you're going to litigate. If Norvergence still owns the lease, you're going to where Norvergence is. If they've assigned it, you're going to where the assignee is. Where you could come into a situation where there's a question is, let's assume for purposes of argument that Norvergence moves its headquarters. At the inception of the lease, they're in New Jersey. When the matter came to litigation, they're in a different state, whatever state that might be. There's no prohibition in the lease that prevents Norvergence from moving its corporate headquarters. So to that extent, even at the inception of the lease, if you assume there's no assignment, there's still the possibility that the form that would have been appropriate at the signing of the lease changed.
But that wouldn't be an ambiguity problem. You'd always know where Novergence was, wouldn't you?
That's correct. And that's the only thing I could see that would come into question. Would it be appropriate now that we've moved to go to this new form? Otherwise, it's an unambiguous.
Because you're saying the clause doesn't actually talk about a change in Novergence. Is that the clause doesn't address that particular possibility that change in Novergence is addressed?
I think at a broad reading it does, because it says it's going to be the appropriate form is where Norvergence's principal offices are located. So you always look to where the principal offices are located. Okay. And again, we think the judge's decision below was incorrect. First of all, the two decisions he relied upon, the provisions that he cited to, those parts of those opinions were obiter dicta. What those courts were deciding, both in Eastcom.
So is the issue ambiguity, or is there some flavor of unconscionability here? Why do you think courts don't like? As you say, it's not ambiguous. You always know at the time there's a default, you know, where the suit has to be brought. But so it's not ambiguous. But is there some notion that this is unfair to say to the lessee, well, you're not going to know where you're going to be sued until the suit, because before then, you know, it could be assigned and so on. Is that the concern here?
I think that's part of the flavor of Aliano Brothers and Michael Aliano's argument on appeal, is that somehow they were at a weaker bargaining position, they're unsophisticated parties, but the facts of the case support that these are two sophisticated commercial entities. And I think anybody, they're deemed to have read the contract that they signed, and I think implicit in that understanding is that if you know there's a forum selection clause there, you know you're going to be going someplace else, perhaps, to do your litigation.
So you have to know is that there's an assignment clause and a forum selection. So you know you could be sued by an assignee, and he could be anywhere.
And this specifically references that, and this contract does specifically have an assignment provision.
What if they assigned it to a company in Uzbekistan?
Well, you're going outside of the continental United States. I think an argument could be made that an American citizen is entitled to litigate in the United States, but I think that's a different analysis.
And that assignment clause was never called into question, was it?
It was not.
Nor argued that that was ambiguous?
There's been no argument that there was any kind of improper assignment or any ambiguity in the assignment. It's specifically stated in the lease and in the form selection provision that this is assignable, and if it's assigned, you're going to go litigate where the assignee is located.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Borst. Ms. Hellenhaus?
May it please the court, the district court's conclusion that this clause is unenforceable was correct because the clause is not clear and specific in violation of Illinois public policy.
Then I don't understand. Why isn't it? It's perfectly clear. You have to. You've consented to be sued wherever either Novergence, whatever it's called, or its assignee has its principal place of business. Couldn't be clearer, really.
No.
What's the unclarity?
The unclarity is that the assignee is unknown at the time that the contract is signed. So defendants really had no way of knowing where they would be required to litigate.
Right, that's true. But so what? I mean, they know that. They assume that risk. They know there's an assignment clause. It's perfectly clear, as Judge Williams said. And they know there's a forum selection clause. And when you put them together, it means you can be sued wherever. I mean, otherwise, wouldn't the assignment clause be terribly undercut because their ability to assign would be greatly restricted if they had to specify what would they say in their form selection clause?
What would needed to stand for this assignment clause within the form selection clause to hold up under Illinois law would be to either identify the forum, have it fixed or ascertainable at the time of contracting.
But how is that possible? Because they don't know who they might assign it to. Suppose they said, well, in the there are these 100 companies that we might assign it to, and their principal places of business are as follows. Would that be satisfactory?
No. Then
Why?
That's the problem.
But then you would know, I mean, Aliano would know exactly where it could be sued. It could be sued in any one of these districts.
But the point is they have not consented to jurisdiction there. In a personal jurisdiction analysis...
What does that mean? If they consent to form selection, that's consenting to personal jurisdiction.
We have to look at the deliberate acts of the defendant directed towards Norvergence. The deliberate acts of defendants directed towards the forum. In this case, when Aliano Brothers entered into the contract with Norvergence, it directed its activities at Norvergence, wherever Norvergence may
be. But it knew that Norvergence could move, and it also knew, forget that, put that aside, it also knew that there could be an assignment.
But it did not direct its activities towards the assignee.
What does that mean?
From a constitutional due process analysis.
I don't understand you. What if it said, we may assign this contract to X company whose principal place of business is in New York, and if we do that, you agree to be sued in New York. Would that be a proper forum selection clause?
No.
No?
The defendant has to have... has to have some minimum assurance that his conduct will lead to where he will be sued.
Not in the forum selection clause.
With the assignment aspect to this clause is what makes...
He's agreeing contractually to be sued wherever.
But this particular clause, because the assignment is not fixed, the forum is not fixed at the time of contracting, the defendant could not know where it was going or how many times the contract was going to be assigned.
Yes,
so there never was a consent to any particular form.
Isn't your remedy then to not sign the contract?
Right.
To
that's
say,
right.
I don't want to sign this as
exactly.
It's written. I want designated what states I would have to go and defend it.
I think with this particular clause, because it's a forum selection clause and it brings up constitutional due process rights of fair warning and notice, we need to look at this clause with closer scrutiny.
But see, this is the problem I have, the same thing Judge Evans stated. you know, but for this assignment clause, we wouldn't be here. I mean, your client had the right to not sign or to say, you know, I don't want this assignment, or because I don't know where we may end up, let's agree on a state now because I'm nervous because it could be transferred. Right. And I'm concerned, you know, isn't it more efficient and simple to hold parties to the contracts they sign? And, you know, didn't your client basically just agree to be sued in the state where the assignee would be located?
No, that's not the interpretation of the clause.
But see, the assignment clause is clear.
This clause is not clear.
Well, one of the things that you talk about the Whirlpool case, but the selection clause here is narrower than the one in Whirlpool, which specifically stated the party consented to jurisdiction in any court within the United States, irrespective of where the parties were located. So this one is more tailored and more narrow.
Actually,
you agree
no.
It's more narrow?
No. Actually,
no. Okay.
I see this clause as really no different from the Whirlpool clause. In that case, when it said to any competent jurisdiction in the United States, this clause is just like that clause.
No. Because in the Whirlpool clause, you could have forum shopping by the plaintiff because he could sue anywhere. You know,
mm-hmm.
In this clause ties it to the place of business of the assignee. There's no forum shopping danger.
But at the time of contracting, there could not be a consent to jurisdiction because that forum was not known. It wasn't known to the original parties.
No. But you can consent to all sorts of things that you don't know, right? You can sign a contract which says, like a building contract, which says, in the event of a delay in my, you know, building your house, I agree to pay $1,000 a day in liquidated damages. Now, that means you have no idea how much you're going to have to pay, whether it's going to be zero, it's going to be $100,000. But that's a perfectly enforceable contract.
Yes, that is. But this situation is different from
Why?
That. This is not just a typical contract clause. Putting aside the assignment clause in the other part of the contract, looking just at the assignment aspect of this forum selection clause, we need to look at this clause closer because you're giving up important rights, which is what the Whirlpool Court recognized.
Well, anytime you sign a contract, you bind yourself and you give up important rights. If you sign a liquidated damages clause, you give up your right to have the amount of damages determined by a jury. It's now determined by the contract. When you sign a forum selection, so every time you sign a contract, you give up rights.
But this clause, you're giving up constitutional rights, and that is fair warning of where you may be hailed into court.
The warning is here, right? The warning is you can be sued anywhere that No Virgins happens to assign the contract.
Which could be anywhere.
Right, but you know that.
Which was the exact clause that was
rejected. You know the risk you're assuming, right? You know it. It's not a question of knowledge. That's why I wondered whether you're really arguing some kind of unconscionability here, because it's not confusion. You know exactly the risk you're exposed to. So I thought maybe your concern is it's somehow oppressive to subject this Aliano to this obligation.
It is oppressive.
Why?
The clear Illinois public policy requires that forum selection clauses be clear and specific because we want to protect the notice and fairness due process requirements of out-of-state defendants. We want to make sure that they know where their actions are likely to lead them for
you
a forum.
You always have a forum nonconvenience argument you could make. If this was assigned to somebody in Honolulu or something like that, you could argue it's so inconvenient for this little New Jersey company to go out there, and we'd like the case transferred, and the judge would hear that and make a discretionary call on whether granted such a motion. That's even available to you here, isn't
that's
it,
true.
If you were to lose.
We could file that. We did file the motion to dismiss. Just to clarify what counsel said, every court in Illinois, with the exception of one court, and that's Judge Guzman in the Burton decision, has rejected this clause for similar reasons, that it's not clear and specific.
Do you think it's an issue of federal or state law?
It's an issue of this. You addressed this, Judge Posner, in the Northwestern decision. It's an issue of federal law. If we look at the Bremen decision, the three elements as to whether a forum selection clause is unenforceable, one that's at stake here is whether the clause violates strong public policy of the state. And as Judge Egan pointed out, it really doesn't matter because we're ultimately going to be looking at Illinois law. And then there's also case law in this circuit saying that we go with what the parties cite. All of the parties have cited Illinois law. And that's why Judge Dara ruled.
Let me just ask one other question. Let's just forget the assignment clause for a minute. Let's pretend that doesn't exist. There still wouldn't be any guarantee in the contract as it relates to the forum selection clause that the party you contract with will not move locations after you sign the contract. So with no assignee, party could move out of state, move anywhere across the states, and it would still be one of those two.
Right, and that's the point that Judge Guzman made in his decision. But the key distinction that he's not recognizing there is that in a personal jurisdiction analysis, the focus is on the deliberate acts of defendant towards that forum. When we look at, if we take his opinion to say you could just move, Norvergence could move, and that would be the correct forum. What the element that's lacking there is that we are now looking at the deliberate acts of Norvergence or the deliberate acts of IFC that are directing the ties to the forum, not the deliberate acts of defendants. And in a personal jurisdiction analysis, the starting point always should be the deliberate acts of defendant connected to the forum. Why do we do that? Because we want to make sure that defendants have some reasonable assurance, some minimum assurance, of where their actions are likely to lead them.
So are you saying the forum selection clause couldn't specify two possible states for suit?
Oh, no, it could.
It could?
But then
they wouldn't know where they might be sued.
If it's specified by state, that would provide at least a reasonable assurance of where.
Well, it would narrow.
Let's say that Norvergence had its.
It would narrow it. So suppose that said, in event of a dispute, suit can be brought either in New York or Vermont. Is that proper?
Yes, that would be proper.
What
because
if it
at the
says
time,
either
at the time of contracting, it's fixed and ascertainable.
What
the
if
defendants
it says,
would know where
what
they,
if it says in the second circuit? Is that specific enough?
In the Second Circuit?
Yes.
Yes.
What if it says in the First or Second Circuit?
Perfectly certain.
What if it says in every state carried by George Bush in 2004?
At the time of contracting, if it could be determined, then yes, that would act as consent. You could agree to that. That would be consent. There would be an advance agreement to a particular forum.
Even though, well, no.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, Ms. Hallenhaus. Mr. Boris, how much time does he have? 1 minute?
Thank you, Judge. Just some brief comments. The entire underpinning of the appellee's argument seems to be that unless I could specifically know at the time I signed the contract what state I'm going to be litigating in, that that forum selection clause is unenforceable, and that's simply not the law.
Well, she just took that back.
And I think you forced her to take it back because it's not the law, and logic dictates that it not be the case, and they have not cited any cases that would say that. Then the second prong of their argument seems to be that, well, and now because of this assignment provision, we can forget about the forum selection clause, which in and of itself is an independent basis for personal jurisdiction, and now we get to do this whole personal contacts analysis to see whether, you know, now that I'm over here litigating in Illinois, I really should be brought to task in Illinois. And that's not the law either. I think the appropriate means, if they had a problem with that, would be the form, or excuse me, a form nonconvenience motion, which they didn't bring. That's how you address that, not by saying a contract that I signed that contained a clear assignment provision, so I knew that that was a risk I was accepting, and a form selection clause that is clear. It's not ambiguous. That's just not the case law. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you to both counsel, and court will be in recess until 9:30 tomorrow.